Okay, welcome. So on Tuesday afternoon this week, our choir master Howard Helvey and I came into this space, and we spent a good part of the afternoon here. There was a lighting crew. If you notice, you can actually see in this place this morning. And right in the middle of the nave, actually about right here, stood this machine. And there were all these gears and this bucket. And it wasn't a cherry picker, it was something even more fun. It just went straight up into the air, all the way to the top. And so we wondered, could we go up there? And when I saw the mischievous smile on Howard Helvey's face, I knew what was gonna happen next. And up, 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 we each took our turns going to the top. We were in the rafters of the church. Howard, the thrill seeker that he is, he went over to the scaffolding, and he just started climbing like a monkey all the way up to the top. And he took wonderful pictures from an aerial view that have never been captured before, as far as I know. For me, I went about a quarter of the way up into the air, and I stopped pushing the button. I grabbed on tight to the edge, and I thought, you know what? These lighting projects only happen about, well, these light bulbs are supposed to last up to 50 years. So this is once in a lifetime. And I thought, I'm going all the way to the top. So I gripped onto one part, and I used my other hand to push the button, and I went to the top. It was right up there. So if God is into elevation, God is in this space. I could see everything from an entirely different perspective. I could imagine the angels, the archangels, and all the company of heaven and how they join us each and every week here in this place to join in the Eucharistic feast. Most of us sit in the same seat every Sunday, and none of us go up high into the rafters of the church unless one of these once-in-a-generation projects presents themselves, and we have the guts to do it, or force ourselves to do it. Usually here, and in most of life, we see things from the same perspective. That's why I think a season like Advent is so important. There was an opinion piece in the Inquirer this Tuesday, "Let us praise the chaos of Christmas." And in it, Kenneth Haycraft justified his family turning on the Christmas music starting November 1. He argued, as Christmas comes but once a year, our family would rather err on the side of excess merriment than moderate reserve. He also noted, to be sure, we should not overlook the important season of Advent as a time of preparation and anticipation. But even this solemn time of waiting and preparing should itself be incorporated into a time of joyous celebration. Advent, after all, only has purpose because it culminates in Christmas. The days and nights of Advent derive their very meaning from the Christmas morning to which they direct their attention. The day that Christians believe that God Himself entered our world with all the messy, rapturous joy that implies. Now, my colleague Jason Emerson, he serves a church down in Chattanooga, Tennessee. He and I were talking this week, and he joins Kenneth's thoughts, but takes them further. He suggests when we simply focus on the glitz and the glitter of the secular culture around Christmas, it can become an opioid. The season of Advent calls us to really see the world as it is. It's a different perspective, and it's not wrapped up with shiny bows. It stands just as it is. When we look at things just the way they are, we'll see the brokenness. And that can be scary. But we also can see God at work for justice and righteousness, which is hopeful. So let's talk about Advent for a little bit. Advent is about metaphorically going up into the cherry picker, or the really neat machine, to get a different view. So this past week, my family and I were walking my oldest daughter to school. We went as a family on our day off up near Parker Woods in Northside. And my husband, he's originally from the desert Southwest. So this has been his first experience of an entire season of fall in his entire life. And he's seeing everything around him with these fresh eyes that I do not have as a Midwesterner. And he said to me, "You know, my favorite part of fall so far is the reality of the leaves. They're changing, they're dying, and they're falling to the ground. But in this reality of death and dying, suddenly everything looks different. You can see things that you didn't see before. You can see right through the trees. Look, Allison," he said, "look through those trees. You can see the entire forest. And you can't see that when it's alive and flush with leaves. We got the gift of a whole new way of seeing this week, Allison." He was so thrilled at seeing it as it is, even though what he was looking at was a cycle of dying and death. That's what these next few weeks are about. Well, we know what is coming, the wondrous hope that God will enter our world and joyfully transform our hearts. We have the gift of a different perspective that comes from looking at things just the way they are. So my youngest daughter, Amelia, is just shy of 2 years old. And just after Thanksgiving, we discovered that Santa was coming to our neighborhood, to a place called Happen. And it was going to be free, so we went, even before Advent began. And we went to the room where Santa was sitting on his big chair, and Amelia got eyes as wide as saucers and clung to my side with a death grip, buried her head and said, "Go outside, go across the street," repeatedly. "Go outside, go across the street, go outside." Same thing happened with a 3-foot Spider-Man punching bag that my mother purchased for my girls. Just a few weeks ago, it was in the living room. We thought they'd be very excited. And Amelia saw it bobbling on the floor, and she ran and clung to my legs and stomped her little feet and said, "No Spider-Man!" When children see things that scare them, they need to feel safe. So with the Spider-Man punching bag, we showed her, this is not real. See, Spider-Man is not alive, and Spider-Man does not have feelings. And Spider-Man has taken a vacation to our basement. With Santa, I took Amelia outside where she wanted to go, onto the street, and then we looked in the window, and we saw Santa, told her Santa is okay, Santa's our friend. Then we went inside the door, and we sat at the back where we could just watch Santa for a long while my oldest was coloring a coloring sheet and then talking to Santa. And then finally, after we'd already done the pictures with my oldest, I said, "Do you want to go by Santa? Sit on Santa's lap?" "No." "Do you want to stand by Santa?"
"Maybe."
Exactly. So we slowly walked to the front, and we got our picture with Santa. And all week after, she proclaimed at odd times, "I saw Santa, Mommy. I saw Santa, Daddy. I saw Santa. Everything is about Santa." But then there is our adult experience of what's happening in the world. I turned on the nightly news this week. The headlines blared into our family's living room with scenes of fear and foreboding that were very real. A high school hazing incident so horrific, the teens are being charged as adults. A massive explosion obliterating a home, the explosion so big it was felt across several towns. The mom and her daughters running from tear gas in the dramatic image at the border tonight. I looked over at my daughters taking this all in with me. playing in the room. And I wondered not only how I was going to keep them safe from the horrors of this world, but how I was going to remain safe. How my brothers and sisters in Christ are going to remain or become safe, gain safety. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth distress among nations confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken." So it's tempting to just rush back to the wrapping paper and the bows. Who wants to look into the face of this reality and see through all the death and the destruction to what's real? With my daughter Amelia, when she was afraid of Santa, we could have just stayed outside and never gone back in. Or I could have just hoisted her up on Santa's lap. I could have moved her through the terror and the tears that were surely coming and gotten my picture for the scrapbook. But we had space, and we took it to make sure that we acknowledged her fear. We wanted her to experience the feeling of safety in the midst of what caused her fear. As adults, we have to find ways to acknowledge our fears and seek safety for ourselves. That's partially why we have the church, so we know we are not in this scary world alone, so we can reassure others they are not in this scary world alone. This Advent season, what if we committed ourselves to acknowledging our own fears? What if we stopped and just noticed our reactions to all of it that just bombards us every day? To notice our reactions to the brokenness we encounter in our world, in our nation, and in our homes, and sometimes in our hearts and minds. What if instead of simply burying ourselves in the parties and the eggnog, we paused to look at the realities of this world for which God Himself was born to save? Just after the attacks on 9/11, Fred Rogers from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood recorded a public service message. "We've seen what some people do when they don't know anything else to do with their anger and their fear. I'm convinced when we help our children find healthy ways of dealing with their feelings, ways that don't hurt them or anyone else, we're helping to make our world a safer, better place. I would like to tell you what I often told you when you were much younger. I like you just the way you are. And what's more, I'm so grateful for you helping the children in your life to know that you'll do everything to keep them safe and to help them express their feelings in ways that will bring healing to many different neighborhoods." The season of Advent in our church is about seeing things just the way they are, about knowing the Son of God comes into this world to save us just the way we are. And with all of your struggles and fears and hopes and dreams, that God loves you just the way you are. The joy of Christmas is coming. And these weeks ahead are about reminding us that that joy comes not to a perfectly wrapped world, but straight into the chaos and anxieties and fears, with the gift of safety and of hope. In Jesus' name, amen.